Good morning.
Morning.
May it please the court, my name is Johan Conrad. I represent the appellants in this case, Dragas Management Corporation, Hamsters Associates, L.C., and Dragas 10 Associates, L.C. There are two issues before the court this morning. One has to do with jurisdiction, and one has to do with the opinion of the district court below granting summary judgment to the insurance companies. I'd like to deal with the jurisdictional issue first. We filed a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction because in this case, when Builders Mutual Insurance Company filed their lawsuit, they, as a North Carolina company, filed against Dragas Management Corporation, which is a Virginia corporation. They also added as a defendant Fireman's Insurance Company, which also happens to have a principal place of business in Virginia. Therefore, Fireman's were actually a plaintiff in the case instead of a defendant in the case. There would be no diversity jurisdiction. The lineup is as follows. Builders Mutual insured Dragas Management for the 2006-2007 period. It also insured Dragas Management for the 2008-2009 period, whereas Fireman's insured Dragas for the intervening period, that 2007-2008 period. It's almost as if Fireman's is the middle of the sandwich with BMIC on each side.
Is there much of a question as to when the drywall was installed or when the damage occurred?
There is a potential question on that, Your Honor, because, well, let me back up for a second. There's no question when the drywall was installed, but there is a debate about, or a potential debate, because we haven't gotten to trial in any of these cases, but there is a potential debate about what the trigger of coverage is, and therefore which particular event may
be more
important. Well,
that wasn't exactly my question. My question was with respect to damage, when the damage occurred to the homes.
Well, Your Honor, we think that the damage began to occur when the drywall had been installed in the homes and the other components, the copper components and things like that, were in there. The air interacted with the Chinese drywall such that the sulfuric...
Well, you understand where I'm going with this, I think. I'm trying to understand, in determining whether Fireman's is a necessary...
An indispensable party, I understand, Your Honor.
...party, I'm trying to see whether this case is on all fours with Schlumberger or distinguishable. And one way in which it occurs to me that it may be distinguishable is that it does not appear to me necessarily the case that you would have the factual whipsaw that you had in Schlumberger if you don't have the same degree of dispute as to when the drywall was installed and the damage occurred.
Your Honor, we have a particular view about that. And we believe that we're right, but the insurance companies appear to have a different view of that, and we haven't gotten that far yet because we never got to trial, and this issue obviously wasn't raised before the district court. There is a drywall installation date, which is a date of certainty that everyone knows. Mm-hmm. There was a certificate of occupancy date, which is a date of certainty that everyone knows, and then there was a move-in date when the actual homeowners moved into the homes, turned on the HVAC systems, and air began circulating. There are various arguments with respect to the importance of any of those with respect to when the damage occurred, and those arguments have not been fully fleshed out, particularly in this case, because Judge Smith granted summary judgment before we got to trial and before those issues came to the fore.
Including that your client voluntarily gave these payments.
Your Honor, with respect, that was Judge Smith's opinion, was that we did not have coverage because our client paid before any lawsuits had been filed or judgments entered. That's correct, Your Honor. Your Honor, I do think that this case is like Schlumberger. In Schlumberger, this court identified three different factors in determining whether or not the insurance companies in that case were necessary and indispensable. Those three factors were, one, whether or not the CGL policies at issue covered the environmental damage. And in fact, I think there was a legal obligation issue in that case as well, or at least there seemed to be from the opinion. We have that same issue here. There was an issue that dealt with the legal determination of what the trigger of coverage would be. While the term trigger wasn't actually used in the final pretrial order in this case, if you look, there are several of the parties raised the issue of when the damage occurred for a particular policy, so that's here. And then there's the further factual issue that we were just talking about. All three of those factors are in Schlumberger. All three of those factors are here. Schlumberger identified the prejudice and the risk of inconsistent results being that one insurance company may be deemed to provide coverage while another didn't. All of those factors are here, and so we think that Schlumberger controls. and we think that Fireman's is a necessary and indispensable party, in addition to the fact that they should be realigned as a plaintiff because of the principal purpose test, and therefore we think the motion to dismiss should be granted. To move on, though, Your Honor, to the...
Is there any other goal in this case in trying to avoid having to pay out insurance coverage? Is there any other goal in the litigation?
I'm not aware of any other goal, Your Honor. The only goal I'm aware of is the insurance companies attempting to avoid paying for Dragas's damages. Then there, with respect to the timing and things like that, there may have been some issues where, depending on when damage occurred with respect to policy periods, there may have been some issues with respect to where a particular piece of damage fell vis-a-vis a particular policy period. But those were ancillary issues to the primary goal, which was all the insurance companies did not want to and still do not want to pay for Dragas's claims, and raised a number of defenses to that. And I think that was the primary issue in the case, and I believe that's why Fireman should be realigned as a plaintiff, which then would jump us to the question that that Judge Duncan was just asking about with respect to the Rule 19 necessary and indispensable party analysis. Moving from the motion to dismiss to the substantive issues in this case, Dragas, the central issue, as you know, is that Dragas paid for remediation of homes that were damaged by Chinese drywall, and it did so indisputably before it had been sued or before judgment had been entered in this case. Now,
does Dragas's legal obligation to the homeowners sound in tort or contract?
Your Honor, it sounds in both. In fact, if you look at the decisions that have been entered in, there's decisions in Virginia State Court, and there are also decisions in the multi-district litigation where Judge Fallon has addressed the theories of liability. In those cases, we have negligence claims that have been that are in those cases. We have breach of warranty claims in those cases, and we also have some contract claims in those cases. Principally, in the case of Dragas Management Corporation, the claims would be sounding the nature of negligence and breach of warranty, because Dragas Management Corporation is the general contractor, and so would not have directly contracted with the homeowners in this case, who would have contracted with the owners of the property, not with the general contractor. But there are a number of theories of legal liability, and that's a good segue, Your Honor, because there is no Virginia authority. Everyone agrees that there's no Virginia authority to have dealt with this specific question. However, there is a long line of Virginia authority that says to courts, when you're interpreting an insurance policy, you need to apply the plain and ordinary and popular meaning of the terms. And we, in our brief, have gone through and looked at the plain and ordinary meaning of the terms legally obligated and the terms damages. We've cited a number of cases that have addressed this. And it's clear that the plain and ordinary meaning of the term legally obligated and for the term damages, that the meaning of those does not incorporate a settlement, does not incorporate the entry of a judgment. And in fact, there's nothing about the plain meaning that would suggest that either a filing of a lawsuit or entry of a judgment is necessary. And in fact, courts outside of Virginia that have applied a plain and ordinary meaning analysis have concluded that there was no need for the filing of a lawsuit or the entry of a judgment. A very recent case, Your Honors, that we cite in our brief is Desert Mountain Properties Limited Partnership versus Liberty Mutual. What's interesting about this case is that this is a situation where homes were built and then there was a problem with soil compaction and damage. But the insured in that case actually remediated a very large portion of the damage before it even notified the insurance company.
Part of the problem that this goes to the point you're making, part of the conceptual difficulty I have with a lot of the cases you cite is that they appear to arise in the context of environmental remediation efforts, which have different parameters and players.
Your Honor,
do you have cases that support the position that you're making outside the environmental remediation context?
Yes, we do, Your Honor. And in fact, the case that I was just about to quote to you, Desert Mountain Properties Limited Partnership out of the Court of Appeals of Arizona in 2010, is not a case that arises in the environmental context. In fact, it's a home building context in which the soil had compacted and caused cracks in the foundation of the homes. And so the owner of the property that sold to the homeowners went in and fixed the compaction and incurred a lot of money, and it wasn't an environmental case. It was a case to fix the cracks because in the construction process, the soil hadn't been compacted properly. And in that particular case, the court applied the plain and ordinary meaning of the terms legally obligated and damages. And in fact, in that decision, it started its analysis by saying, we interpret an insurance policy according to its plain and ordinary meaning, examining it from the viewpoint of an individual untrained in law or business.
Right.
And, Your Honor, that's the standard that's adopted in Virginia, that we adopt the plain and ordinary meaning. There's no case that I'm aware of in Virginia
as one untrained in law or business would understand it?
Yes, ma'am, it's the plain, ordinary, and popular meaning. And there is no case that I'm aware of in Virginia that would suggest that that an insured would need to be held to the standard of an individual who had been trained in law or business. And in fact, in some contexts, there's been suggestion that someone should view it as if he was a sophisticated consumer, and that position has been rejected. But Your Honor, I would actually say, more importantly, I don't reference this case in Arizona to say, because the case in Arizona decided this way and put a particular interpretation on these terms, that you must follow this. My point is that when you apply the plain and ordinary meaning of these terms, you get to the result that no filing of a lawsuit or entry of a judgment is necessary.
What about damages?
Your Honor, this case that I've cited to you looks at both the terms legally obligated and the term damages. And in fact, we've cited a number of cases in our brief that deal with both of those terms, including there's a case out of the Supreme Court of South Carolina, I believe it was, that talked specifically about the term damages and said essentially, you know, we don't apply some specialized gloss to that. There's no need for damages to only arise in the context of a suit that's been filed or a judgment that's been entered. And if you look at several of the cases that we have cited in our brief, you'll see that that this idea of, if you just take the terms of the policy as they are in their face, the policy talks about things like lawsuits and claims and things of that nature. And yet, in this particular portion of the policy, it doesn't say anything about needing to have a lawsuit filed, even though the insurance company knew how to use that term in other places. And if you look at the plain meaning of this, there is no such requirement. And in fact, the primary cases that have been relied on by the insurance companies and even by the district court, for example, there's a Sixth Circuit decision that addressed this issue. And in fact, that Sixth Circuit opinion, if you read it, it doesn't really say that you can't have coverage unless a lawsuit is filed or judgment is entered. What it says, it actually goes into determining whether or not the insured in that particular case was legally obligated. It doesn't say you're not covered because a lawsuit wasn't filed or judgment wasn't entered. It says, it goes into the actual analysis of, was there legal liability? Here, there was definitely legal liability on the part of Dragas. They discovered the Chinese drywall situation in January of 2009. They began notifying their insurance companies and investigating all of these homes that they had built. They eventually determined that 74 different homes had Chinese drywall. They found extensive amounts of damage. They got reports from the homeowners of appliances sparking and fire coming out of them, and they began concerned because they were finding things like natural gas lines with copper that were pitted. And so they were worried about a catastrophic event. They were worried about taking care of future damage. And they had implored the insurance companies to make a decision on what they were going to do. And in the face of silence from the insurance companies, they started remediating these homes and entering these remediation agreements. They started, the first remediation agreement signed on March 3rd, 2009, and a number of them were signed between March 3rd and June 9th, 2009.
Didn't the district court find that the settlements were initiated, that there was a timing issue? That you had started approaching homeowners about settlements before there was any mention of a lawsuit?
Your Honor,
or an action?
First of all, in January of 2009, when Dragas first learned of the Chinese drywall problem, one of the first things it learned when it learned about the Chinese drywall problem was that there had been lawsuits filed down in Florida in which homeowners were suing because of damage from Chinese drywall.
Is the answer to my question Yes.
The answer to the question is that we received contact from lawyers for homeowners at least by mid to late February of 2009. At that point, we had initiated an investigation, and we had discovered that there was damage, and we had begun, at least in very very broad terms, talking about remediation. No remediation agreements were signed before March 3rd of 2009. That's the date. There's a chart in the appendix, I can actually cite you to it, that lists the date of every single one of the remediation agreements. That's it.
That wasn't my, but that, no thank you, that wasn't my question.
Okay, well I think the answer to your question is that the, as we knew that homeowners had hired attorneys before March 3rd of 2009, we knew lawsuits
thank you.
Had been filed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Howell.
Good morning, Your Honors. Danny Howell, Builders Mutual Insurance Company, arguing for appellees. Judge Duncan, if I may, while it's still fresh in my mind anyway, the answer to your last question is exactly as the district court judge found. The decision to make the remediation and the implementation of the program was done way before anybody talked about suing Dragas, any lawyers surfaced from circling around this avalanche of lawsuits that were pled by the Dragas companies. The decision was made, for the most part, before there was anybody who even wanted money. And the decision was to do a remediation that Dragas decided to do, and every single time a lawyer or a homeowner said, we want something else, you need to do it for us, Dragas said, we don't have to do it. In fact, Dragas said in writing to one of the homeowners, we're going beyond what we think is perhaps our legal obligation. It was a decision that they made voluntarily, and the district court got that chronology right.
In what respect did they, you're saying that they, it's your assertion that Dragas went beyond their legal obligation?
It wasn't my assertion. They said it themselves. They actually,
I'm sorry.
In their corporate deposition, they said, you know, this is what we meant by this term. Well, you know, we have statutory obligations, and maybe we don't have to do this. The question with respect to legal obligation is, who says? The policy provides for payment of sums that the insured is legally obligated to pay as damages. And those, we've had a very exhaustive search and argument based on case law all around the country here in the case below. There's virtually no case anywhere that says anything other than, except in the environmental remediation, government-ordered or strict liability context, that can happen apart from a judgment. And Judge Duncan, your question with regarding to what about as damages goes to the heart of it as well. We understand damages to mean money ordered based on an adjudication by a court or similar body. In this case, there wasn't any adjudication, there was a determination by Dragas that it would do this. It's absolutely incorrect under the record, and it was found by the district court. There was no situation here where Dragas was waiting for insurance companies to give them an answer so that they could know what to do while homeowners were crying out for action. They were told from the very start that insurance companies were reserving rights long before any insurance company ever denied coverage. They began their program, implemented it, as the court found, and started signing remediation contracts left and right, and didn't tell the insurance companies about it, by the way. Over 30 were signed before our company denied coverage. It just wasn't a situation where anybody said to the company, here are our claims, please defend them. That wasn't what happened here.
Perhaps you can talk about jurisdiction a bit.
I'm sorry.
No, it's totally appropriate. But I think you do need to talk about jurisdiction, too.
Yes, Your Honor, with respect to the motion to dismiss, and first, Judge Floyd, in response to your question, there wasn't a monolithic situation here. There were carriers who had different coverage provisions, and we did, in fact, have an issue that was going to go to trial on, if we didn't go out on summary judgment, on
exactly,
whether...
That's a big if.
That's a big if.
The
big
first
if.
Thing is, none of you are liable, and that's Judge Floyd's point.
There were
that's
three.
Your essential argument.
Absolutely,
number
Judge.
One argument.
Absolutely, Judge. There were several issues as to which all carriers would have gone out. I'm not saying that's not the case. Obviously, it's true. But there was one, and it was an important one to us because it would have affected 90% of our coverage. When we filed this case, we didn't know what was going to happen on pollution exclusions. We pretty much know now. We didn't know what was going to happen with respect to legally obligated. But we did know that we had a factual contention with respect to whether the Dragas companies knew about this problem before they went and bought a whole bunch more insurance from Builders Mutual. That aside, this case can proceed in the absence of Fireman's Insurance Company if there is, in fact, realignment.
The so you're going to the second issue, whether
yes.
they're a necessary party.
That's so right.
More or less,
that's right.
The handwriting's on the wall.
And I apologize if I mix the terminology between the present required party and not. I'm trying to keep it straight. But at any rate, the first question with respect to that is whether or not Fireman's, in fact, has asserted an interest in the subject related to the litigation. Because if they haven't, we don't get to whipsawing. Fireman's didn't sue anybody. We sued them. And then Draga sued them.
Yeah, but isn't it the whole point that they have this common interest? That's why you're aligned on the same side.
There's a difference between having an interest. Well, with respect to realignment, but with respect to Rule 19, there's a difference between having an interest and asserting it. And in fact, if Fireman's isn't asserting an interest itself, and cases that we've cited said if the carrier hasn't in fact done anything other than deny coverage, and that's all Fireman's did here, they're not asserting an interest with respect to that. So we don't get to the second prong of Rule 19 on whipsawing. But let me get to it, because it absolutely is incorrect that there is factual whipsawing here. First of all, there's a distinction between inconsistent obligations and just losing on an issue of law, inconsistent adjudications.
Can you put it, for my purposes, in terms of distinguishing Schlumberger?
Yes. With respect to Schlumberger, as was the case in that day and age on a lot of environmental coverage cases, it had several years of successive coverage of different carriers, all of whom were going to be liable if one of them was. And the issue was going to be how much would each one have to pay. And so you also had in the missing companies in the federal court case were parties in a competing state court litigation. There wasn't any question in Schlumberger that the missing insurance companies asserted an interest. They were litigating it in another court. And in that situation, the only issue was whether or not there was going to be some disputed issues of fact that could potentially cause whipsawing with respect to when the damage occurs. A lot of these old cases started in situations where the trigger rules began because we couldn't say when the damage occurred. Water contamination, underground storage tanks leaking for years, asbestos contamination. Judge Duncan, your very first question goes to this issue. There wasn't any dispute here about when there was damage. This wasn't a leaking tank.
Well, there wasn't any dispute about installation.
Well, not only that, Your Honor, there wasn't any dispute about when the damage happened. This was rust. Copper pipes rusting. They were either rusted yesterday or they weren't. And if we don't know, it's only because nobody went and got the evidence. It isn't because no one could know. This is a very, very different type of case. There weren't going to be any disputed facts about this. The only potential for something different happening is a different judge in a different court deciding that this provision didn't mean the same as it did. And that's not what the whipsaw of the Schlumberger case addresses, I believe.
The problem is you can make these factual distinctions, but in Schlumberger, as here, it was an appeal from a grant of summary judgment.
It was, Your Honor, and there was, in fact...
But we have the factual disputes for whatever they are, unimportant to the trial judge in both cases.
Well, there weren't factual disputes here that would make any difference, is my point.
It
doesn't
make any difference whether they make any difference or not, because they weren't critical to the grant of summary judgment.
I think the difference has to do really with whether or not there really is a uniform rule that the Schlumberger case calls for or not.
Whether it does or does not set up...
In every case where there are successive carriers, do we always have to have every carrier in the case? If, by the way, the Dragas companies had sued, as they did in a counterclaim, in this case, only Builders Mutual, well, they have to sue the other carriers? They would not have to sue the other carriers. They can choose, as anyone who is a creditor against sureties, to proceed against fewer than all. And in fact, that would be an independently adjudicatable counterclaim. But putting that aside for the moment, The issue here now has to do in part with timing. This case has, in fact, gone all the way through a couple of years of litigation, summary judgment just prior to trial, full discovery.
Well, how is that different than Schlumberger?
Well, it matters in this case.
Well, how is it any different?
How is it any different in Schlumberger? Because there was state court litigation going on all the way at the same time.
Well, I was thinking.
But we don't control that. I mean, you all, the parties control whether there's state court litigation going on at the same time or not.
Well, all right. We also look realistically in terms of what actually is likely to happen in the future. Is there going to be litigation involving firemen in a separate court? There was separate litigation in Schlumberger. That is, I think, an important distinction. Is there going to ever be a lawsuit involving firemen? They're not going to sue anybody. At some point where there are rulings on the pollution exclusion, we already essentially have it with the PBS Nutritionals decision from the Virginia Supreme Court. Is it that likely, or is it completely speculative that there's ever going to be a lawsuit between Dragas and firemen? Virtually all of the coverage that far exceeds the damages here exists between the Builders Mutual and the Hanover policies. Dragas has been in litigation with Hanover separately for years, and they have a trial set. That's also, I think, part of the analysis. Again, at the end of the day, are we talking about inconsistent obligations or inconsistent adjudication? Your Honor, with respect to legal obligation, if I could.
Going back to the merits.
Yeah, if I could go
sure.
back to that for a moment.
Sure.
One of the issues it raised was, and correctly asked, obviously, that are there cases outside of environmental government order remediation or environmental strict liability? And there are a few. There aren't many. There are a few, and they're cited by the Dragas companies. The Desert Mountain Properties case is one which appears to state an untrained in law a lay ambiguity rule, which, by the way, it was certainly not dealing with lay insurance purchasers here with the Dragas companies. But putting that aside, it doesn't seem to be a rule enunciated in that case. That, first of all, I don't even think it's followed in Arizona by the Supreme Court. But even if it is, it's certainly not a rule that's applied here. We look to what a reasonable person would understand the language to be. And a legal obligation, there isn't any case that says that I'm aware of that the terms legally obligated to pay as damages are terms that are so vague that they can be easily understood to mean just a contractual obligation. And by the way, of the three Federal Circuit Court of Appeals that have addressed the legal obligation that we've cited in our papers, the most recent, the Third Circuit in the Permis de Lisa case, noted that one of the difficulties with pointing to a mere contractual duty or the source of the contract, by the way, even if you have a tort duty in this case, it all starts from the original contractual obligation to build these houses, right? But even the problem with doing that is, in New Jersey, their case authority, going back a long ways, has said that commercial general liability policies don't serve to guarantee contract performance. And that's, of course, the Wido case, been followed in Virginia for a long time, since Nationwide Insurance versus Winger. The question goes back, under legally obligated, to who says that the insured is legally obligated. If it's not a court, if it's not at least a lawsuit that we can perhaps look at and say this has some, maybe it does rise to the level if it's a suit, maybe it's the equivalent of a suit by the government under strict liability. I don't think it is, and we don't argue that it is, but this wasn't even that. This wasn't even a settlement of a suit. The court below took pains to point out that there were four lawsuits filed against the Dragas companies, but they were dismissed, not based on any settlement. They were dismissed right away before they were even tendered to us to defend, because Builders Mutual said, we will defend these cases under a reservation of rights. And ultimately, those folks took the remediation deal, which was the only thing the Dragas companies was ever willing to do.
How much money is at issue here?
How much money is at issue here, Judge?
Is that somewhere in this record?
It depends on when you're asking, because in part there's a running clock for attorney's fees. But taking that aside, taking that out, I think we're somewhere in the range of $4+ million, something like that. Total claim could well be, you know, another two or three more if there's a claim for attorney's fees. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact numbers. There's an argument throughout Dragas's brief that because there is language with respect to voluntary payments, in other words, a policyholder can't go ahead and make their own payment without the insurance company say so, and because if an insurance company gets a claim and the insured says, I want you to defend me, I'm being sued, and the insurance company says, we're not going to do it, and then the insured has to go ahead and make a settlement, but thereafter the insurance company can't stand up and say, wait a minute, you violated the voluntary payments clause, because that's a condition that the policy imposes on the policyholder, and the carrier can't stand on that condition after they've denied coverage if it turns out their denial was wrongful. That's not what this case is in terms of the substantive appeal on legal obligation. Legal obligation is a come-in-the-door requirement. There is no coverage in the first place. We don't get to any conditions. We don't get to any exclusions unless the money constitutes sums owed because there's a legal obligation to pay them as damages. And there is no application of any rule that says that because a carrier denied coverage that they have somehow waived the requirement that there be a legal obligation to pay, and you can't enforce it. That reads it out of the policy. There is an argument made with respect to waiver, and it's a different argument made with respect to the different insurance companies, and I want to, if I may, address it briefly. First, as to Hanover Insurance Company, Citizens Insurance Company, Fireman's Insurance Company, the argument is very simple. The argument simply is basically what I just said, that there must have been a waiver of the right to enforce this. As to Builders Mutual, there's a different argument that's made. As to Builders Mutual, the argument is that Builders Mutual waived or is a stop from enforcing the coverage provision because Builders Mutual said at some point during extensive discussions about what Dragas was doing and what they wanted for coverage and why we thought there wasn't coverage, that Builders Mutual said, you know, you're probably doing the best thing you could do. And when it said it, Builders Mutual meant exactly what the court said. When the court said, no good deed goes unpunished here. It wasn't that it wasn't the right thing to do, to stand up behind its product, to stand up behind its contract, to provide the remediation for its customers. The question was whether or not there was any basis in the policy for coverage for it. So that argument, especially with respect to the estoppel aspect of it, is unsupported by anything in the record. And in particular, when Dragas says that they were waiting to hear and they had no choice but to go forward because the insurance companies hadn't told them what they were going to do. Well, that's not supported by the record. The district court properly found remediation began and it was implemented before any carrier came in and said no. That's what the record shows. And the argument in the briefs to the contrary is unsupported by that record. Excuse me, Your Honor. And I would also, I guess, just again, Your Honor, I as best as I can determine, there is no factual whipsaw that's been postulated here. What exact whipsaw there would be that would create an inconsistent obligation? I don't know what it is. And I believe unless we know that it's a substantive risk, that it cannot be the basis for saying this entire appeal has to be dismissed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Conrad, do you have rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to deal with a couple of issues. And first, I want to get to the timing issue that that Judge Duncan asked me about. And it is true that the district court says in a footnote that no lawsuits were filed prior to the time that Dragas undertook his remediation efforts. And that is correct, because there are only four lawsuits filed. They were filed in June, and they were quickly non-suited. The first attorneys to start contacting Dragas on behalf of the homeowners started contacting them around February 17th of 2009. At that point, BMIC had made at least a preliminary indication that it thought that at least the your work exclusion was going to limit or altogether bar coverage. BMIC, I'm talking about Builders Mutual, Dragas' lawyer wrote to Builders Mutual's representatives on March 11th saying, we want to begin remediating immediately.
The thrust of my question was simply that the district court made the point that there was only one demand that was made before February 24th, and at that point, remediation efforts had already been undertaken. And you don't dispute that, I take it.
Your Honor, I don't dispute that Dragas was acting as quickly as it could to figure out what it needed to do for remediation.
Could I ask one other thing, too, about legal obligation in response to something Mr. Howell said? If legal obligation includes voluntary settlements, who determines the parameters? How far, how generous or how narrow the determination has to be? What standards govern it under your understanding of the phrase?
Your Honor, one of the cases that we cited in our briefs is a case out of the District of Kansas. I believe it's called...
It would really help me if you would just sort of answer my question.
Yes.
Without sending me to Kansas.
That'd be fine, Your Honor, but that is an example where the court takes a look at and decides whether the settlement was reasonable and in good faith. And in making that analysis, the court looked at the actual legal obligation that was faced by the insured when it settled the case.
And that this is ex post facto.
Yes, in the sense that it, hopefully I understand what you mean, Your Honor, the
district court made that determination.
After the fact.
After the fact, because the agreement was voluntary.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. And it determined whether or not it was reasonable and in good faith, and it looked at the scope of the damage being faced by the party. Your Honor, and we actually, when you look through the appendix in this case, you'll see that one of the points that we made from the very beginning was that, and I think it was Judge Motz who asked about the scope of damages in this case, Dragas actually had a case against the subcontractor, Porter Blaine, that installed the drywall. Dragas received a $4.9 million judgment against that subcontractor, which is the subcontractor is insolvent, so the judgment hasn't assisted in recovering. But so the damages in this case are just under $5 million. If you look at the damages that were awarded in, for example, the MDL cases that went to trial, that Judge Fallon went and he tried a couple of those test cases from the beginning, and just we have 74 different homeowners here. In those cases, just a couple of different homeowners received damage awards in the millions of dollars. So when you talk about the scope of liability and the reasonableness of this particular settlement, to deal with all 74 of these homes for around $5 million when other litigation in the MDL was resulting in awards above $1 million per homeowner, it could not have been more reasonable. And in fact, it was a great deal for the insurance companies. One other point I want to make, Builders Mutual mentioned an issue with respect to waiver in this policy. The fact is that when Dragas wrote Builders Mutual in early March, when they met with them in mid-March in person, when they wrote them again in early April, and told them all along, we're in the process of beginning this remediation, we're doing this remediation, Builders Mutual never said, you can't do that because you're not legally obligated to do it. They said, well, there's a your work bar, there's a pollution exclusion. They raised these other things. They never raised this. And at any point, if they had raised that, if they said to Dragas, you are not legally obligated to do this under the policy. We know that
they're not in business of giving legal advice to Dragas.
Your Honor,
that's your job.
they're the insurance company, and when they're facing that kind of liability that's coming down the pike, for an insurance company to see what their insured is doing and to not
take...
Well,
one could actually say that about you suddenly noticing firemen's moving to dismiss after the case is gone, after you've lost on summary judgment. Hindsight is always better.
Your Honor, I think, first of all, I think those are two different issues because
well,
I believe...
Of course they're two different issues.
Because
we're not total dodos.
I was about to explain why, Your Honor, in my opinion, but my
understand.
Time is up.
I understand. I just think it's a fair point.
It is a fair point. I'm not saying they've waived the argument, Your Honor, in the sense that they can't come back now and argue that it's here. What I'm saying is they waived the argument by not telling us in real time that
they waived what argument?
Excuse me?
They waived what argument by not telling you what in real time?
I was talking about the waiver with respect to the legal obligation by saying that you are not covered unless you are sued or there's an entry of judgment. That's
what does reservation of rights mean to you?
Your Honor, they had a reservation of rights that referred to specific portions of the policy. The reservation of rights said, we've got a your work issue, we've got a potential trigger issue, we've got a pollution exclusion issue. The reservation of rights didn't say anything about a legal obligation issue. But Your Honor, none of that matters if under the plain meaning of the term legal obligation and damages, it's covered in the first instance. And none of it matters if there's no jurisdiction. So with that, Your Honor, I'll close.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll ask our clerk to adjourn court, and then we'll come down and say hello to the lawyers.